Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Eagles fans, this is Chris Franklin from NJ Advanced Media, and welcome back to the No Huddle Show podcast, where we'll discuss anything and everything Philadelphia Eagles. Before we begin, I want to remind you that you can read our content on nj.com/Eagles, and make sure to bookmark that to get the latest Eagles news and analysis. You can also subscribe to our exclusive Eagles Extra Insider text service, and through Eagles Extra, you can send questions and comments directly to us, and we'll respond to your phone. We're once again joined, as always, by my No Huddle Show co-host, Les Bowen. Today, we're going to talk about the Eagles' latest win against Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jaguars that moved them to 4-0. We'll also talk about the transformation of the Eagles' defense in just one season and a team's upcoming game against Zach Ertz and those Arizona Cardinals. But first off, we're going to go to Les. Les, how you doing, man?
Doing great, Chris. How are you?
Not bad, man. You know, it's another week and it's another win we're talking about. I mean, who would have thought we would have seen a team that's 4-0 right now with this Eagles squad? And it wasn't ugly. It wasn't pretty on the Sunday. You know, that it was a torrential rains, man. You know, how are you dealing? First off, I'll start with this. How are you dealing with all this wet weather, man? This is crazy so far.
It's been so weird. It's like we went from extended August to post-Thanksgiving, very, very quickly. And, I find myself not really wanting to brave the elements to run or take the dog out or anything. The dog certainly is disgruntled. She does not like to be wet. So that's been an issue. But, surely we have to have some real decent autumn weather here sooner or later.
Yeah, man. But just think, okay, we get through this week, you know, we got out of the 70s, and then we get to go to the warm air of Arizona, the desert, man. We can do that with that. But you know what? We're going to talk about the Arizona Cardinals later on. Let's focus first on what happened last Sunday. You know, the Eagles won, as everybody who's listening to this podcast know, the Eagles won 29-21. They were dug themselves into a 14-point hole early on, and it looked like, hey, you know what? I'll be honest. I started to think about what I was going to start writing. I think I told you, too. I'm like, we're going to start doing a who's to blame for this right here. But looking at this, the Eagles were able to rail off 20 unanswered points and wound up getting the win. First off, overarching question to you, Les. What are your thoughts about this win and where the team can go from here?
Well, I was just incredibly impressed. 14-0 into the first quarter, awful weather. You've lost two key starters during the first quarter very early, Darius Slay on defense and Jordan Mailata, the left tackle. You've got, basically you're on fire. I mean, you've really got a lot going on. And by halftime, they had taken control of the game. And I don't think you can be much more impressive than that, frankly. I mean, they were unimpressive in getting down 14-0, obviously, but the recovery was breathtaking. And I think it really gave you a hint of the potential of this team, which is extraordinary. It really is. I don't know that that potential will be realized, but it's certainly there. I mean, I don't think if they have everything going and they're doing, you know, the things that they do well, I honestly think they can stand up with anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, they were able to overcome a lot in that game. And I guess we'll start look at the the ball offensively when you look at this. Jalen Hurts, you know, looked like he was affected early on by that weather, you know, throwing that early interception that went returned for a pick six. But he finished 16 of 25 for 204 yards and that one interception. So that passing offense wasn't there. But luckily for the Eagles, they still relied on a run game, ran for 210 yards rushing, powered by Miles Sanders, who himself had 134 yards and two rushing touchdowns. I'll start with this one and go this one. Miles Sanders, you know, there's been much made about his effectiveness early on so far because he hasn't had this big game, but now that he has it, how does he fit into this offense, and especially this, with this offensive line? And do you think he can sustain this long-term over the season?
Well, I don't think he's going to get 27 carries very often, Chris. But, you know, we don't know about Mailata yet. I tend to think guy suffers a shoulder injury early in a game and can't return to that game even after halftime when they would have a chance to really look at it and strap it up or whatever they need to do. I tend to think there's enough wrong that he probably won't play this week, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But anyway, my point in bringing that up is Jack Driscoll, his backup. I don't think you want to expose Jack Driscoll a whole lot in pass pro. He's not a bad player, but he's not a great player. He wouldn't be the utility backup if he were a great player. You don't want him one-on-one against good pass rushers a whole lot. And so I think they will continue to run. This is a long way of answering your question. I think we'll see them run some this week. I don't think Arizona is a great run defense. And, you know, I think that's something on the road that's a good way to establish some rhythm and consistency. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a strong dose of Miles Sanders again this weekend. After that, you know, like I said, going into the season, you brought A.J. Brown in here and you drafted Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert for a reason. That's got to be the focus of your offense. And it's nice. You know, I hope Miles Sanders in a sort of counterpunching role can break off a 40 or 50 yard run, you know, fairly regularly. I think he has that kind of ability. But I don't think he's going to average, you know, 100 yards a game. I don't think they're going to be that kind of offense. I think they should be able most weeks to, you know, throw for 300 yards or 400 yards and several touchdowns. And, you know, I think that will constrain him more than anything else.
I'll go to two things off that. You brought up a good point when it came to Driscoll and I know it's tough when you come in early on and you're not expecting to get in there, especially reps. You get game reps in a position he's never played in the NFL right now. He's played mostly on the right side, left side. But you look at the way he played, I thought he held his own for the most part. I still felt a little concerned that they were able to get he's susceptible to bull rushes big time. I mean, he got pushed back 3-4 yards and I think the Eagles in that aspect were lucky they had Hurts, who's mobile, to be able to step up in a pocket and still move downfield. And listen, if I'm the Cardinals, I know J.J. Watt plays mostly on the left side, but if I want to get the most out of him, I might think about moving to the right side if Mailata is out. And I think it could possibly be like if Watt was on that side, it could be like a 2-3 sack type game because I think he's – I'm a little more concerned on that aspect.
Yeah, if they just line up Watt against Lane Johnson, then that Kingsbury should be fired. You know, I mean, that's because he's not going to get a bunch of sacks on Lane Johnson. Lane hasn't given up one and, you know, is probably the best right tackle in the NFL. So, yeah, you want to if you're the Cardinals, that's definitely something you'd want to do. And that's what I was saying. I just don't think you want to. I don't think you want to drop back 35 times with Jack Driscoll at left tackle, if that is the case, which we don't know that it will be. I'm just sort of thinking that it probably will be, but we'll see.
And, you know, I think the last time Lane Johnson actually gave up a sack, I think it still has – I didn't have any gray in my beard, so he's been that long. So he's been that good on the right side.
I but probably had some gray in my beard, though. I'm going to go through it.
Oh, man. But getting back to Sanders, I think No, when you have the running ability, it hurts. And I look at the lanes that can possibly, especially when you do a zone reads, and I think it's starting to mesh a little bit well too. And I'm starting to see these defenses starting to play a lot more zone now. And I'm wondering if they continue to – it's becoming a numbers game now. It looks like it hurts when he gets out the huddle. He's doing that mental count, saying like, oh, I got sixes. And basically, it's a lineman one-on-one, and then me one-on-one against a linebacker. I'll take that. Or like it's going 7-on-7 inside the box, and he's just basically counting in, sending the ball off to Sanders. And I think as long as this line is still able to block the way they are right now, I think he can continually get about like 80, 90 yards a game. I really think he does that, and I think he's motivated too because he got the contract.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing. You know, I think Miles is really motivated this year. Not that he's not motivated other years, but he is looking at his future here. And his career has not been, to this point, everything that you thought it might be his rookie season because of injuries and because, you know, the offense is ups and downs and the coaching change and the quarterback changes and all that stuff, but mostly injuries. You know, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. We used to ask Deuce Daly when Deuce was the running backs coach, do you think Miles can be a real every down, workhorse franchise back, a featured back? And Deuce always said, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And I got to the point where I would scoff at that because he was never healthy enough long enough to do that. There's always something, you know, a shoulder and a hamstring. There's always something wrong with Miles, frankly. So to actually see him carry the ball 27 times for 134 yards was quite an accomplishment. It's something he'd never done before. So, I hope you're right. I hope he does have a big year.
And moving on the other side of ball, I mean, it was the Hassan Reddick homecoming. I know Temple University had their homecoming game, but it seemed like Hassan Reddick waited to Sunday to have his own. I mean, he was everywhere, forcing fumble, he forced two fumbles, two sacks as well, too. And you look at what he's doing now, he's starting to get into his groove. And Les, I want to ask you this here. When you look at this defensive line, if you had to say, compared to, say, some of the teams where the Eagles – had their playoff runs back in, like, say, 17, 18. Where does this line compare to those previous years?
Well, these last 2 weeks, it's looked really, really good, and it compares very favorably with those. The first 2 weeks, I wouldn't say I saw a whole lot of similarity. I think you and I both were concerned that maybe Brandon Graham wasn't coming back fast or well from his Achilles at age 34. We were thinking maybe Reddick was a guy who was going to flash here and there, but wasn't going to be a real consistent player. And we hadn't seen what we were hoping to see from Josh Sweat, I don't think, or Fletcher Cox. All that has kind of come together the last couple weeks. So the last couple weeks have been very, very promising. I'm not going to, pretend as if they've had an entire season like that 2017 group did yet. They've only played four games. And like I said, the first two of them weren't that great. But, there's a lot of potential there. And I think they could be deeper at D-tackle than that group was. Chris Long and those guys, it's hard to obviously Brandon Graham was 5 years younger in 2017. It's hard to say this group's going to be better, particularly off the edge. Fletcher Cox was 5 years younger also. But I do think it's something that was concerning me a little bit early on, and I am not concerned right now.
You know, you bring a good point too. When you look at that too, when you look at that 2017 team, you had Fletcher Cox, and he was in the middle there. But you mentioned the edge rushers. I think they're a lot more pressure that they were able to create. I mean, everybody knows Brandon Graham's strip sack of Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. When I look at this team iteration, they're inside out, and I don't think I remember seeing a team that's. I'd probably feel more comfortable saying like the defensive tackles are almost the strength of the line right now, and you're supplementing. But now I think the defensive ends are catching up to that. And you're looking at this, and you're seeing like a sustain. I still think the 2017 team right now, would still be a better overall defensive line. But I'm sitting there looking and like you could see why they invested so much money into this defensive line area and hoping they had the success they have right they're currently having right now.
And I think this defensive line benefits from a much stronger cornerback group behind it than the 2017 team. You know, the 2017 team had a lot of pressure on it to get to the quarterback pretty quick because Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby and those guys, you know, they would give up some long completions as they did in the Super Bowl. I think quarterbacks are having to hold the ball a little bit on this group. I think you're seeing that with Slay and Bradberry. Of course, Slay was not much of a part of Sunday's game. He suffered a forearm injury. But Zach McPherson, whose name I misspell one way or another almost every time I type it, really came in, second-year player, kind of a controversial pick, I thought, given there were a lot of people that liked him in the draft 2 years ago, a lot of people who didn't like him at all, came in and played very well, I thought, Sunday. And, I think they're in a much better spot at that very, very, very important position than the Super Bowl team was in.
Yeah, and another part of the cornerbacks, you mentioned the injury to Darius Slay. One thing you have to look as well, too, is how Avonta Maddox will now come back from his ankle injury. You know, he was a late addition to the injury report. He showed up on last Thursday right before the game, and then he missed that game. It looks like Josiah Scott, if he's able to miss this game again, it looks like Josiah Scott might be stepping in to fill in that nickel role. How do you assess the way that he played, and are you concerned that now that there's an extra week of video on him that the Cardinals might try to tackle him even more and he might get exposed?
Yeah, we talked to Jonathan Gannon today, the defensive coordinator, and he was very complimentary of Josiah Scott. I thought he did all right for a guy who really hasn't played much at all. I wasn't overwhelmed. I thought he had some mistakes that Avonta Maddox, some completions he gave up that Avonta Maddox would not have given up, including that last touchdown, I thought, that the Jaguars scored to make it a closer game than it should have been. I kind of thought Scott had a pretty strong hand in that. It'll be interesting to see what Kyler Murray does against a guy like that and how they work the matchups. They've got Zach Ertz, obviously. I wouldn't want to see Josiah covering Zach Ertz a whole lot. I think that's a pretty big mismatch. That's something to watch. There's a little bit of a buzz that, you know, Avonta did sit out the game. It wasn't like he got hurt during the game, as was the case with Slay and Maialata and Suamalo. There was a bit of a buzz that with a week to recover that Maddox, you know, could probably play. Of course, if he's playing and he's not 100%, then that's probably a matchup with Zach Ertz you also don't want. So that's going to be pretty crucial, and it's good that you pointed that out.
And I'm really afraid. The reason why I brought that up is Hollywood to me. Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown. He's got a lot of speed in there. Now, I know he's not one of the premier. I wouldn't say he's a top 10 receiver in this league, but he's got enough speed that he can cause you problems. And I'm wondering how much Cliff Kingsbury will start to line up in a slot, knowing that Scott's inside there. And if you do, you have to start rolling some of those safeties over and you give him help, which opens up things for the other things and maybe gets Zach Ertz more involved in that offense. But yeah, I'm a little concerned about that one.
I'd be more concerned if we were going to see DeAndre Hopkins, but we're not, you know, frankly, I just don't think the Cardinals are overall very good. They eased their way past the Panthers last Sunday. The Panthers are terrible. To me, their offense looks like Kyler Murray run around and make something happen. And he's a wonderful player and a lot of exciting to watch. But I kind of like the Eagles. If the Eagles are flat-footed, you know, against this guy, I'll be shocked. I mean, I think they have pretty good ideas about what to do with guys like that. And, I don't think he'll run rampant all over the place and cause a lot of chaos. Of course, I'm often wrong, but I just don't. I was more worried about the Jacksonville game, frankly, than I am about this game from an Eagles perspective. You do have to keep in mind that they're probably not going to equal the 72 Dolphins. They're going to lose to somebody at some point. And I think these injuries could have a lot to do with, you know, whether this is the week or not. If the Eagles are reasonably healthy, I'll be shocked if they lose to the Cardinals. If Slay and Maialata are out and Maddox is out and Suamalo is out, then it could be a very close game, and certainly the home team could win. But, you know, beyond, all things being equal, I certainly would take the Eagles.
I'll leave with this. Well, too, then I'll get into the Cardinals predictions a little bit later. This, but okay, say if the Eagles are fully healthy or relatively healthy heading into this game, where do you think the Eagles are going to get their first loss?
Oh, well, you're the one that's been looking at that. I mean, Dallas is playing pretty well. That would certainly, you know, really rile up the home folks if they lost to Dallas right before the bye in 2 weeks. I don't see them losing to the Steelers with the quarterbacking situation the Steelers have and it being at the link. I don't see them losing at the Texans, certainly. I don't see them losing when Carson Wentz comes to the link. I don't see them losing to Matt Ryan and an Indianapolis team that right now looks awful. However, by November 20th, when that game is being played in Indianapolis, maybe the Colts will be on a tear and the Eagles will be, you know, have like eight important guys on IR or something. But I got to say, Green Bay, you know, that's you always have to respect Green Bay. And that's November 27th at the link. I think that'll probably be a big, big old national game. You know, that one sticks out to me more than any of these others. Not that almost any of these others could happen, injuries and luck and, you know, the other team improving greatly in the weeks in between. But that's the game that if I had to bet money, I guess that would be the one that I would put my money on.
You see, mine's is a little different. And I'll explain the thought process behind it. If they do get past, this is the only game I think maybe at first I thought maybe they do this because they just have so many issues going to the desert. They lost the last five games going out to Arizona. Never won since 2001.
I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you did. I wasn't sure if it was five, but I know every time I go out there and there are times that I've been really expecting to see the Eagles win. I've seen them lose to Kevin Cobb out there. I saw them lose an NFC championship game that they were in position to win. It has not been a good, that big Jiffy Pop looking dome has been has really been a problem for the Eagles. And I don't know if that, you know, most of the guys on this team weren't even on the Eagles the last time they lost there, I don't think. But it is something to keep in mind.
Yeah, now you just gave me an envision of Stuart Bradley playing in a defense now. Thanks. Appreciate that. But looking at the way – look, I think it could be the Colts. And the only reason why I think it could be the Colts is because Frank Reich knows Nick Sirianni very well. And likewise, Sirianni knows Frank Reich very well. But then I think he also knows how to utilize Jonathan Taylor. I still think he's the best – offensive player in the league right now. I really do. Salem, New Jersey's own Jonathan Taylor. I really think he is. And Matt Ryan, you're right. He's not the guy he used to be with Atlanta years ago, the one that led him to the Super Bowl at all. But that just seems like that matchup that would be to come out of nowhere because the week ahead of the Packers game, you don't know if they're looking ahead and if they're doing so well, they're thinking like they may be thinking that's the one for the one seed or the two, who's going to be the one, who's going to be the two in the playoffs, stuff like that. So that's the one I'm really looking at right now, like thinking like, yeah, maybe that come in with.
I just don't know if Indianapolis has the horses. I'm not sure what that team is right now. You know what? They just, there's not a whole lot there, weapons wise. defensively, Darius Leonard, yes, but yeah, I just don't know. You're right about Frank Reich, and I think that'll be a real challenge for Nick Sirianni going against Frank, but I just don't see the personnel at this point, but we don't know what the Eagles personnel will be by then either.
Very, very true.
But yeah, the Arizona thing, you not only have they lost their last five there, those are the only five they played, because before that, the Cardinals played in Tempe, where the Eagles won regularly. These ever since they moved to that stadium in Glendale, the Eagles have not won a game there, which is kind of extraordinary.
Why do you think that's the case?
Well, they don't play there very often. You know, there was a time when the Cardinals played in Tempe, they were in the NFC East, you know, going back to when they moved from St. Louis for some reason. But, you know, they haven't played there very often. It's just been kind of luck of the draw. It's been they haven't sent a real good team out there. The 2017 team didn't go out there, you know. And there was a year, you know, when the Cardinals went to the Super Bowl. They didn't win it, but they had some good teams there for a while. But it's been weird. Like I said, the year they lost to Kevin Cobb, I was not expecting that. And, you know, like that NFC Championship game, it was Kurt Warner, but the Eagles, I thought, had driven downfield and scored a touchdown and taken the lead in the fourth quarter and were going to hold on and win, and they didn't. So, you know, ancient history now, but certainly, you know, and there's nobody going to be in this game that was in that game. Unless DeSean Jackson makes a miraculous return to one of the rosters in the next few days. But yeah, it's a crazy stat. It really is. There's a lot of stuff like that. You know, the Eagles at Tennessee is a huge, they don't win at Tennessee for some reason. I don't know why. There are some places where they do very, very well. You know, MetLife is a very comfortable venue for the Eagles. Maybe because the Giants are never very good, and certainly the Jets are never very good. But yeah, it is an interesting factor that you can't really, it's hard to account for.
I don't know. Maybe they're starting to feel like they missed that warmth and everything. So like summertime, they enjoy it too much. And then bam, next thing you know, yeah, they come back with a loss. But hopefully for the Eagles' sake, they're going to hope that they don't go and become and lose to them. So last, I want to end it with this way. What is your prediction for Sunday's game?
I'm going to go, Chris, with Eagles 31, Cardinals 17.
Nice. Well, I'll go it this way. I still remember the last time these two teams played where Hurts and Murray basically put on a show. We had two dynamic quarterbacks, guys who can make plays with their legs and to get their offenses going. And I think it's going to be a high scoring affair. I have the Eagles winning this game 38-31 and it's going to be entertaining. I'm looking forward to this matchup. I really am.
Yeah, I think it'll be entertaining. And I think it's an NFC team that could end up as a playoff opponent. You know, there aren't a lot of great NFC teams right now. You just saw the Rams last night look like they're not going to be doing much. So, yeah, and the 49ers have a wonderful defense and no quarterback right now. So this is an NFC game. And it's the first NFC game they've played against a team that, you know, other than they played the Vikings. I keep forgetting the Vikings keep beating other teams. The Vikings looked so bad when they were here. Yeah, this is the like, second game then against an NFC contender. And it's valuable in that regard, I think, more than any other.
Yeah, Wilson, and we'll have all the coverage leading up to that game on Sunday afternoon at 4:25 here. And remember, everybody, make sure you can read that coverage on nj.com/Eagles. You can also, once again, subscribe to our Eagles Extra Text service, and we'll be able to talk to you, answer your guys' questions on there as well, too. But for Les, I'm Chris. Everybody have a good one. See ya.